Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today I have another great guest. Her name is Lois Wenzel. And Lois, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Nancy. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. Now, Lois, let's talk a little bit about who Lois is and why you got into being a Reiki master and a Parama level body instructor and all of that good stuff so that people understand who you are.
Well, about 26 years ago or so, my youngest child had just started kindergarten, and I wandered into a metaphysical shop on the Strand in Galveston, and I'd never been in there before, and I had thought it was just a little gift shop, but there was a sign on the door that said tarot readings on Tuesdays, and it was a Tuesday, so I got my first tarot reading, and from there was guided to begin doing my spiritual work, which took me to metaphysical classes where I learned to read tarot cards and so on, and then one of my ex-husband's paralegals, he was my husband at the time, one of his paralegals just thought, well, you know, the door's open to interesting things. I'll just let her know about Reiki. So she told me about Reiki, and within a couple of years, I was a Reiki master. And, of course, anybody who's had a Reiki initiation knows that that kind of thing tends to change the course of your life. So what happened then was not too long after I became a Reiki master, my need to express as a spiritual being on the planet kind of went through the roof. I could no longer handle being, a trial lawyer's wife, a member of the junior league, all that stuff. It just wasn't resonating with me, and I'd worked really hard to get where I was. You know, I'd put myself through school and put him through school and law school, and all of a sudden, it was like the disconnect between who I was on the inside and how I was expressing on the outside became unbearable. And so I found myself getting a divorce because he was totally not okay with this new found spiritual stuff. It was just anathema to him. He couldn't bear it. He was embarrassed by it. And bear in mind, this was in the 80s. I mean, this was not a common thing then. So I wound up taking my children and moving from Galveston, which is where I was living at the time, and restoring old buildings on the Strand, that kind of thing. And I completely changed everything and moved to Austin and went to massage school, which was a strange thing to do, given that I had all this heavy-duty background academically in fine arts. I could have been teaching college, but my spiritual guidance said, no, go to massage school. And I'm going, what? But I did it anyway. And, of course, you know, I like to say the spiritual path is a winding thing. Like, you can't see where it's going. It's winding through the trees. And you just kind of have to keep putting one foot in front of the other, and only later can you look back and say, oh, that's why that happened. So here I was a Reiki master in massage school, and people talked about, wow, the energy coming out of your hands is just phenomenal. What is that? Your touch is so different than everyone else's. And so, you know, from that I would get more Reiki clients and more people to initiate into Reiki. And I became a massage therapist and kind of went into like a monastery. I was out in the woods in Westlake Hills and working on clients who were not only getting massages, but they were getting Reiki. And after a period of about 6 years, I ended up coming back to Houston, where I still live. This was about 15 years ago. I came back to Houston and began, in addition to the massage therapy practice, I began doing past life readings because I had I'd had a dream in which a luminous being had given me the Akashic records a couple of years before I got divorced, and gradually a few people had requested past life readings. Then when I got back to Houston, lots of people requested them because I wandered into a metaphysical shop where the lady said, what all do you do? And that was the thing she most wanted me to do, so I got a lot of experience doing it there. And then also I had studied shamanism right after I got divorced, actually, with Sandra Ingerman of the Foundation for Shamanic Studies. So it was when I got back to Houston that I started doing all of that stuff, not just the massage and Reiki, but additionally soul retrievals and Akashic Records readings. And so that's kind of how I got to where I am now. And about 3 years ago, it started about 1998. I don't know if you do massage or not, do you?
I do, but I don't let people know that.
Yeah, I don't do massage anymore. I do energy medicine. However, I know that a lot of people who do massage, they close their eyes when they're working. And I mm-hmm. became aware, and I know I'm not the only one. This has happened to now, but at the time I thought I was the only one. I became aware there were other beings in the room. And they looked golden, and they're about the size of people. And what I thought at the time was a fantasy was that they would work inside the client's body. Sometimes they would, you know, one of them would get behind me and run their arms down through my arms and on into the client to do things. And I used to have people say, wow, these miraculous things happen after you give me a massage. And I thought, well, you know, that must be your imagination. But I kept thinking I saw these yellow beings in the room. Then I saw Barbara Brennan's book, Hands of Light, and realized somebody else was seeing these yellow beings in the room. And so one day in about 1998, when some new beings showed up, and I thought, wow, that's weird. They were very tall and skinny. They were blue-gray, and they faded to white at the top, and they're way taller than the roof of the house. But, you know, I could see them with my inner vision, and I wondered who they were. And as soon as I wondered, they told me their name was Ankanash. And I had to have them repeat it several times, and it was many, many different times they showed up before I had thought to put a piece of paper and pen on the little table beside the massage table so that I could write it down. And when I did write it down, they said, if you will get a copy of the Kabbalah, you'll see that this name comes from three letters in the Kabbalah, and you'll recognize them when you see them. So I wrote down the name, Ankanash, and went to Barnes & Noble in between clients that day and looked up these three letters in the Kabbalah and, you know, flipped through until I saw them, and that there were three letters. It was Ein, Kaf, and Ash, which Ein means I. Of course, each of the letters in the Kabbalah has just a ton of meanings, but the main meaning that jumped out at me was eye, as in eyeball, and palm of hand, and flame, or final solution to a problem, or diagnostics is what the last one meant. And so I thought, well, gosh, that sounds like Reiki, you know, because flames come out of the palm of your hand when you're doing Reiki. Actually, I had tried to wax my own eyelid before the divorce, and after I burned my eyelid. That was kind of an embarrassing story. But anyway, I was trying to wax my eyebrows, and it got too hot. So I was putting the kids to bed, and they were climbing into the tub. And once they were kind of settled in the bathtub, I sat down in a little chair beside it, and I had been Reikiing that one eye for at least an hour. And so I took the other hand and put it over the other eye, and I realized after a few minutes that I could see these yellow undulating flames coming out of the palm of my hand. And I went, oh my gosh, I'm seeing Reiki. And I was just kind of blown away. So I knew that it looks like a flame and it comes out of the palm of your hand. And I also knew from having seen paintings of Tibetan tankas, you know, those tanka paintings, that a lot of shamanic cultures believe that there are eyeballs in the palms of your hands and feet, or that you can see using the palms of your hands and feet. So when I read those three words in the Kabbalah, meaning eye and the palm of your hand with a flame coming out of it, I went, holy cow, that sounds like Reiki. So these beings continued to work with me in the healing room, and they would tell me, you know, where to put a Tibetan bowl on the client, like on their tummy or on their chest or at their feet or maybe on a little stool up by their head, and in what pattern to tone these Tibetan bowls, and which crystals to put on which chakras when I was running the energy, you know, the Reiki energy through my hands into their bodies. And they hung around for a couple of years and worked with me like that. Not on every client, but most of them. And so then when I became acquainted with the body talk system, which is a form of energy medicine, these beings said to me, we're going to step aside for a while and we'll be back, but we're going to step aside while you learn this new system. And I thought, oh, well, okay. I mean, you just showed up and now you're leaving, and, you know, I guess that's what 12... Oh, they told me there were 12 dimensions, in 12 dimensions. That's why they look tall and skinny. And I thought, well, I guess that's what these kinds of people do. They come and go, and they'll say hello and goodbye, and I'm not in charge of this. So I threw myself into the study of body talk, and one of the things that I learned was that they have an online forum. And I would talk to people all over the world every single day. And what I found out was that I was an exceptional healer, and I never would have known because I had no frame of reference. My clients were happy, but I didn't have any idea what a good healer I was till I compared myself to other people in the world. And that was good because I had no self-confidence as a healer. So these beings called the Ankanosh came back 5.5 years later. And I'm sitting in my living room early one morning before the sun comes up, drinking green tea, and they show up again and start talking to me. And I'm going, oh, well, that's interesting. It's nice to see you again. And they're giving me this information. And I'm going, interesting. And one of them finally said, write it down. I went, oh, okay. So they started doing dictation. And they eventually gave me a large body of work and actually showed me some sacred geometry symbols, which I drew freehand. And looking back, I don't know how I did that because these things are hard to draw even on graph paper. But clearly I was channeling it because I did it. So I started initiating people with using these sacred geometry symbols, and we now have, I think, about 300 people spread over the planet on 5 different continents, actually, practicing Adena energy medicine now. And when we start doing Adena, we invite these 12-dimensional beings into the room. So.
That's a great story. When they first started coming to you, did that scare you?
No. And I look back and I think, holy guacamole, why wasn't I terrified? Because I'll tell you, they were very, very kind and patient in that, and they still to this day don't tell me things that they know I can't handle.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one day after we had about 40 people initiated, one of the initiates is an international businessman who spends most of his time in Europe but lives here in Texas. So he's not someone who knows a lot about energy medicine or anything else. He's, you know, a businessman. He said, I just wanted to tell you, call me on the phone, said, I just wanted to tell you the most interesting thing happened. My roommate was having a muscle spasm in her back, and I just Reiki'd her back. And I said, you did? And he said, yeah, the muscle spasm went away and hadn't come back for 3 days, and she'd been miserable before that. And I said, well, when did you get a Reiki initiation? My feelings were kind of hurt because he didn't ask me to do it. And he said, well, you know, it was Adena. And I went, Adena came out through your hands And he said, yeah, isn't it supposed to? I said, well, I don't know. I guess I'll ask the Ankenaz. So I did. And they said, well, yeah, we told you recently that we brought Reiki to the planet tens of thousands of years ago before it got lost. Did you not think Adina would come through the hands? And I
they
said,
do have a good sense of humor.
They are hilarious. They are hilarious. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me? And they said, we did. We told you through Rick. We told you and gave you a confirmation at the same time.
Yeah, they pick strange ways to do things, way uh-huh. we don't seem to understand, but we eventually get it. You know, so it's just kind of like a lot of fun. And my thought is, Lois, if people just kind of really keep their minds and their intentions open, that most of the people can pick up a lot of the energy and a lot of the messages that are being given out 24/7. But there's so many people who are not quite open yet and still shut down that they don't hear them. So when they hear a story like yours or a story like mine and go, did that really happen? Are you serious? Did that really go on? Just tell me. Are you just kidding? It's like, no, it really happened. And so they get a little baffled, but it is true. Would you agree, Lois, that if people would just kind of leave their minds open, their hearts open, and their attentions open, that they could easily pick up all the information that's coming through?
I think, yes, absolutely. And I think that there are some people who, just like some of us are better musicians than others, and some of us are better painters or writers than others, or better at math, there are people who are better at this kind of thing than others. But I do think it is an innate human ability to commune with the spirit world if we allow ourselves to stay open. I totally agree. And this seems like an important point to make right now, because if people are going, this woman is making it up or she's Looney Tunes, what I want to say is that the kinds of spirit beings that you want to be talking to are the ones who give you confirmation in the three-dimensional world of what they're telling you. In other words, they're not going to pump up your ego and tell you you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, but they are going to give you confirmation of what they're telling you. And when they were first giving me all this information that they wanted me to incorporate into the teaching of Adina, Adina, by the way, it's an acronym, Energy Dynamics for the Integration of Natural Attributes, EDINA. They would give me something. They would tell me something early in the morning, and I would write it down. And then they would send confirmation, and this is what I mean. In the 3D world, somebody would show up, like a client coming in, or someone sending me an email, and they would have a reference to a website they just really felt I needed to know about. Or someone would show up with a book and say, I just felt guided to bring this to you today. I just know you need this book for some reason. Or mm-hmm. I want you to read this. I just know you'll love it. But invariably, within 24 hours, these guys were giving me confirmation in the 3D world. Otherwise, I might have thought I was making it up.
Yeah, a lot of people, Lois, go through that phase where it's like, you know, am I just imagining all this? Is it real or what is it? And really, about that time, there is confirmation that's given to you. You know, and still some people will question it. It's like, I got to be going crazy, you know, and then another confirmation will come to let them know that they're not going crazy. You know, so again, I think people just kind of need to stay open. Now, is the body talk somewhat similar to like the soul retrieval?
Well, body talk is something that was, it's a synthesis of a whole lot of different things created by an Australian chiropractor who now lives in Sarasota, Florida. And it's a form of energy medicine where you use muscle testing to determine what that individual needs and in what order. And the kinds of things it synthesizes are craniosacral, I mean, a huge variety of things. Astrology, craniosacral, it starts with the same basis as Reiki, in that you must have permission. So you do muscle testing to make sure you have that person's permission. It works on body chemistry, a whole lot of different things, all pulled together in a cohesive system.
Okay. And soul retrieval, what is the difference?
Well, soul retrieval is a form of shamanism. And when I studied in 1990 with Sandra Ingerman of the Foundation for Shamanic Studies, that's where I picked up soul retrieval. And shamanism, you know, we've seen archaeologists have found evidence in graves as old as 40 or 50,000 years old of shamanic practices, things like rattles and drums, those mm-hmm. and crystals, are very commonly used in shamanism. So it's been around for a long time. And the belief among, and it's still practiced in the indigenous people of the earth, they still practice shamanism. And the belief is that if you suffer a trauma, such as combat, rape, sometimes divorce, surgery, birth of a child, death of a loved one, bankruptcy, you know, anything that is significantly traumatic to the individual, a piece of the soul fragments and leaves in order to avoid the trauma. If you lose enough fragments of your soul, you can be really messed up. In fact, if it's bad enough, if you suffer enough trauma, it can cause death. But most people are walking around with a few pieces missing, say from the birthday party when you were 4 and somebody knocked you down in the mud and ruined your Sunday school dress or whatever, all the way to, you know, combat or rape or a car wreck, surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And so a piece of the soul runs away to avoid the trauma. And in soul retrieval, the shaman goes into non-ordinary reality to retrieve the soul part, sees what happened to the individual, brings the soul part to a special healing area in the non-ordinary reality, heals the soul part, and then picks it up and then gets up off the floor where they've been lying next to the client and takes the soul part and blows it in through the heart chakra
mm-hmm.
and watches it fill the entire body, and then has the client sit up and then blows it in through the crown chakra, and then you tell the client what it is you saw. And I have seen incidents from, you know, any of those things I mentioned, like car wrecks or beatings or whatever, or just a baby being ignored for a long period of time can cause soul retrieval in a small child, a small baby. And so that brings the soul part back, and when it comes back, it brings back qualities that you lost as a result of the trauma, like perhaps the ability to trust or the ability to take risks, or the ability to allow yourself to be loved. All kinds of abilities can be lost when we have suffer a soul loss.
Now, you also do the Akashic Records.
Mm-hmm.
How? Well, first maybe explain what they are, and then explain how it helps people to have that done.
Well, the Akashic Records, or Akashic Records, people pronounce it differently, is somewhere in the ether, and it has all the records of everything that has ever happened to anyone who ever lived or ever will live. And we're all part of a continuous thread of life. We come into bodies, we experience growth and learning, and we leave bodies, and we study in between lifetimes, and then we decide what we want to learn in the next lifetime and come back in and experience again for the purpose of growth and learning as souls. And sometimes while we're in that experience of growth and learning, what happens is that we don't learn what we're supposed to, or we make mistakes, or we draw incorrect conclusions. And so when something like that happens, it's very important to correct the understanding while you're in a physical form. Let's say, for example, somebody at the moment of death, say you got hit over the head from behind and you draw the conclusion at the moment that you're dying that it was your spouse who hit you over the head because you just had an argument with them, when in fact it was a robber who had broken in. So you die thinking that the person you loved and trusted has killed you, and that incorrect conclusion with all the horrific emotion that would go along with it is imprinted on the soul. And so it's very helpful to find out what happened and what the incorrect conclusion was that you drew while you're in physical form. In other words, after you've reincarnated, like in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. Somehow, learning about it in between lifetimes does not have the effect on the soul that learning about it while you are in a physical form has on the soul.
Okay. A lot of people, I don't think, either believe or understand that there are many different techniques that can help them, you know, figure out what they really need to learn during the lifetime that they're in. Plus, it also helps them to get rid of, say, the fear of flying or water or stuff like that, because they don't know where it's come from.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so a lot of people, again, if they would just stay open and, experiment with some of the stuff, they might have a lot of very interesting findings out about themselves and also ways to forgive themselves, because a lot of people also have a lot of guilt and all kinds of stuff that they come in with.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I had a client once who just had this unbelievable fear of driving. And over a series of past life readings, she has gradually healed to the point that it's not completely healed, but it's not anywhere near as debilitating. And she had one lifetime after another where, while she was driving some sort of conveyance, whether it be a spaceship or a covered wagon, she would have these experiences where other people died because of a misjudgment she made or because of a situation that was beyond her control, but she happened to be driving. And when she understood these experiences and heard about what happened and how much of it she could have controlled and how much of it she could not control, it helped heal that terror of driving.
Mm-hmm.
So another experience that a different client had was that she'd always had problems with her, you know, temporomandibular joints, you know, with the muscle that runs in between the upper and lower jaw right in front of the ear. And she wanted to know what, if that had to do with the past life, if there any way that could be healed. So she'd had it for over 20 years. Well, a lifetime came up, and when I do these readings, between 3 and 5 lifetimes will come up. And in that particular reading, one lifetime came up where she was living in a community that the people lived on boats, and there was a flotilla of boats, and they went all over the place together, but they didn't have houses. They lived on boats. And what they did with the young males who got a little too feisty and thought maybe they would take over from the chief is they would take a giant fishbone and run it through the those muscles that connect the upper and lower jaw, right where the TMJ is. Mm-hmm. And they'd run it through all the way through the mouth and out the other side, hooked through those bones and those muscles, and then drag them behind the boat by their jaws. In other words, the head would be pointed towards mm-hmm. the boat. And until they got the point that they weren't in control. So this had happened to her in a past life, and a sudden storm blew up, and she drowned.
Mm.
So after she heard about them, it was an accident. Nobody meant for this guy to drown. She was a man mm-hmm. in that lifetime. And when they, when she realized this from the vantage point of being another person, and seeing what happened in a more neutral fashion, she was able to, every time her jaw started to hurt, she'd say, now, now, you're not being pulled behind a boat. And within a few months, that pain was completely gone.
Yeah, you know, I think people, again, have a really hard time, Lois, thinking, well, you know, can that be? Can it really be? And there are just hundreds and thousands of people who go through their record or have themselves regressed to find out a lot about their life. And I think it's really important that if people are having a hard time in a lifetime, the lifetime that they're in, they really need to check some alternatives here other than going to a doctor and getting a pill to try to fix it, because a pill mm-hmm. is not going to fix it.
In most cases, if it has anything to do with a past life, particularly if everything you've tried hasn't worked, it's time to go for alternative possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
I had one female client who all her life had terrible skin problems like psoriasis and eczema and boils and just awful, awful stuff. And I did a past life reading for her in which, this lady was Jewish, by the way, in which she had been a Nazi doctor who was experimenting on Jewish women with all these different kinds of causing diseases on the skin by putting bacteria on the skin and different kinds of chemicals applied to the skin to see what they would do. And he thought he was an experimenter. But this guy comes back as a Jewish woman with terrible problems with her skin. And when she understood that, her skin cleared up significantly, because prior to that, nothing had helped it.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you work with children?
I do. I don't often work with the Akashic Records with children. There's some, I guess my guides are telling me you need to wait until they're adults with the Akashic Records. But I will tell you that in the context of energy medicine, sometimes Adena, sometimes Psych K, and sometimes Body Talk, I have had past lives come up. There was a little boy who was 7 years old who could not sleep by himself. He would wake up in the middle of the night and come crawl in bed with his parents, and he'd never been able to. And if they would put him in his room and close the door, he would scream hysterically and wake everyone in the house. He couldn't even handle being behind a closed door in the daytime. All doors had to be open. He was constantly in his mother's lap, constantly needing to be held and touched. And this is unusual for someone as old as seven. I mean, he was in the second grade. So they brought him to me and for Body Talk, because the mother had been, she was a nurse, a registered nurse, who was seeing me for a knee problem. And this is before I started doing Adena, but so I'm doing Body Talk, and a couple of things came up, and then a past life as a woman who, at the age of 18, back in the mid-1800s, had had a baby and suffered a really severe form of postpartum depression, which can be, you can go into a psychosis temporarily, just because of severe hormonal imbalances. But in the mid-1800s, they didn't know what to do, so they just locked her up. Once he got locked up, it was really hard to get back out. Even after she normalized and her hormones got back under control, she was kept from the age of 18 until 35 when she died, locked up in a small room with nothing but a metal bed with springs, no mattress, no sheets, no blankets, and a drain in the middle of the floor. And they would hose her down periodically, and that's how they got rid of the fecal matter. I mean, it was horrific. And even when she got better and started talking, trying to talk to the guards, she'd already been branded as crazy. So she had no human touch. She was locked up, and this went on for like 17 years. So when she reincarnated as this little boy, she could not handle having doors shut. She could not bear not being touched all the time. And when I mentioned it, I was very careful how I said this to the child. But I said it in a very gentle way that in a past life, you know, you were locked up. You were a woman who had a baby and then had a real serious depression, and they didn't know how to help you, and so you were locked up and cold and lonely. And he cried a little bit, and he said, "Will I be okay now?" And I said, "Now that you know about it, you're just going to heal automatically." And within 3 days, this child could sleep in his own bed all night long. And within a couple of weeks, he'd go into his room when he got home from school and start, you know, playing and, you know, doing his little workbook homework and stuff like that with the door shut. And his parents were just blown away. So I saw him a total of 3 or 4 times, and, you know, completely knowing about that past life, even just the gentlest reminder of that past life, really made a huge difference in this little boy's whole life. And he's 12 now, and he remembers it. I saw his mother recently, and she said, "Oh, yeah, he remembers you with great fondness." He said, "You just made everything better."
That's good. If somebody would like to get a hold of you, Lois, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, I have a couple of websites. The Edina website is Edina, E-D-I-N-A, healingtemple.com. And then everything else that I do, is probably my primary website, the place to go to learn about that. And it's Hot Pink Lotus. HOTPINKLOTUS.com. HotPinkLotus.com. And my phone number's on there, and my email's on there. And all the different things I do are listed on there.
Now, you also have a BA in art education, and an MFA in painting and clinical psychology and art therapy. How important do you think it is, Lois, for the children to have art education and being able to paint and be creative?
I think it's extraordinarily important for children to be able to express creatively, and to be allowed to express whatever they need to, because in and of itself, it is healing. And the most important thing I think about art is that we not criticize children, because I cannot tell you how many, when I taught high school, how many children I saw, high school kids, who were so uptight and shut down because some elementary school teacher who really knew nothing about art would say things like, "What is that supposed to be?" Or, "That's not supposed to look like that. Here, let me show you how to draw that." That shuts kids right down. They need to be left alone. If you don't know what you're doing, just say, "Oh, that's interesting," and let them go. Because there are all kinds of things you can work out all by yourself just by drawing, just like adults can work things out by journaling. I think everybody who's ever had any therapy at all, or even read about having therapy, knows that journaling is an extraordinarily healing thing for people. Well, just so, making art is extraordinarily healing for children. They can heal themselves if we only allow them to express. Because what art is the mirror of your soul.
Mm-hmm.
This is how your soul speaks to you, is in images. That's why we have so many images in dreams. We have a lot more images than words. The soul speaks to us through images. And this is how we can express our soul and connect with our souls, is through making images in the most unfettered way possible, just loose and free and without any criticism.
Yeah, and see, what the schools are doing most of the time is they will stop art, they will stop music, and they're starting to stop PE, which are the three main things, I think, that help these children to stay focused and actually let them use their creativity. And when they take that away, the children have all this pinned up energy and creativity, get very bored, get kind of defocused, and then they turn around and they say, oh, this child has ADD, ADHD, we need to put them on something.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I think the most important thing of those three is, as the mother of sons, I have to tell you the most important thing of the three is to get some activity, whether it's an official PE teacher or getting outside and letting them play freely, because kids act things out, as in theater acting things out, when they're allowed to play freely.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you what I think the direction the schools are going to take is that we're going to become realizing more and more we just can't afford public schools anymore. They're not doing the job. We can't afford it. And there's going to be a whole lot more homeschooling. Whether it's somebody in the neighborhood teaching five or six kids and the parents paying them to do it, or people teaching their own children. But, you know, the public schools are broken all over this country.
And I agree with that. So what happened, and I don't know if you know this, but I was from Chicago, and I moved to New Mexico. And I moved down here with the sole purpose of finding land, finding funding, building a school, opening it, and running it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Within 6 months after being in New Mexico, I got donated 22.59 acres of land to build the school on that I want to do. And the school is called the School of Now, which is a different kind of school. It's actually a school that each child is individually based. It's not first grade, second grade, third grade. It's based upon the child. And there's going to be different kinds of techniques, a lot of it using the metaphysical world with what we already know and what they already know but aren't allowed to use it. You know, and it's really designed to help children that have been labeled with ADD, ADHD, problem children, children that do not fit the bell curve, and children that are just outright bored, which is about 98% of student body nationwide. So that's what I came down to New Mexico to do. And, you know, and I tell people about how the public school system is really not doing their job. And, of course, a lot of people don't want to hear that because it's like, well, then, oh, my God, what do I got to do, pay for private school? Well, if you go to the right one, hopefully it won't cost them a lot of money. But at the same time, if the school is broken, which it basically is, they still need to do something to help their children. Because if they don't, it's going to stay broken, and the children are going to grow up being broken with what they know and what they don't know. So working with children, I think, is really, really important, especially with the new world that's going to be here and the new spiritual connection that we're going to have with a lot of different beings and places. And yet the public school system still does not want to change their system.
Well, I don't see much hope for the public school system. I think that gradually people are going to more and more take their kids out of public school and do something different. I think we're about to have just such major cultural change in this world and in this country that everything's going to completely be turned upside down and inside out and changed. And I think it's going to happen in the blink of an eye. I think children are better off on the farm with their parents planting the fields and, you know, playing in the fields and playing with the animals. And I think we're going to become an agrarian society again is what I think is going to happen.
Which I think
is going to happen faster than people know.
Well, I think we need to do that because right now, if we look around the world, not just here, but look around the world, there's a lot of things that's really missing. And one of the biggest one is love from the heart and the children being able to be who they are.
Yes. I
think
agree.
That's real important. Now, you also do a radio show yourself.
I do.
So why don't you tell the listeners where it's at, what time, and how they can find you?
Well, I do mine on Friday mornings because that's when my guides told me to do it. And it's at 9 o'clock Central Time, which is 8 o'clock Mountain, 7 o'clock Pacific, and 10 o'clock Eastern, Friday mornings. And it's on Blog Talk Radio, and it is the Lois J. Wetzel, W-E-T-Z-E-L, show, the Lois J. Wetzel show on Blog Talk Radio. And I interview people. I have a thing about scientists who are doing spiritual work. I love to interview those people. But I'll interview anybody that's involved in metaphysics, spirituality, the coming changes. I interviewed a lady who made a film on crop circles. I've interviewed people who are like Thornton Streeter, who is one of the UK's experts in the auric field, or the energy field within the body, and how to measure it. He's measuring it and visually so that you can see the changes before, during, and after an energy medicine treatment, for example. They've got machines that measure that stuff now. And recently interviewed a woman in Santa Fe who has a she's got a shop, and she's an aromatherapist who studied in Europe and also has an essential oil company. And her name is Audrey Gutierrez. And their approach in Europe to aromatherapy is very different than ours. They put essential oils directly on the body, and that was very fascinating. And I interview mediums and psychics and readers, and but it's an educational show. We don't do readings for people who call in, but it is an educational show, and that's my purpose, is to educate people and help them find who they want to work with, who they want to study with, who they want to learn from.
That's great. What is the ascension frequencies?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
You also talk about the ancient, and it looks like solfeggio.
Oh, solfeggio. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Those are tones. And the music that we listen to are based on a different set of tones. The solfeggio frequencies were used prior to about the 4th century. And they are at a completely different tonal range. I'll tell you, if you want to hear music that's composed with the solfeggio frequencies, the healing frequencies, the only thing that's around now would be Gregorian chants. If you can get a CD of Gregorian chants, you can hear music based on the solfeggio frequencies. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Lynn Horowitz, the guy that wrote Biological Codes for the Coming Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't think we've got an apocalypse coming. I don't want anybody to get the idea that I think there's an apocalypse coming. I don't. Major changes are coming, but they're not apocalyptic in the negative sense of it. But he talks about the solfeggio frequencies, and the one that corresponds to the heart chakra, which is 528 hertz, has been shown in the laboratory to heal DNA. So what happens is that with these frequencies, the music, Confucius, let me rephrase that. Confucius said that when the music of a kingdom changes, the kingdom changes. Sound frequency is profoundly important to the health of your body and to the health of your culture or your civilization. For example, if you're constantly exposed to jackhammers, or if you live right underneath at the foot of a runway and you're hearing loud jet noises all the time, if you're constantly exposed to something like machine gun fire, that affects your body. It affects every cell of your body. The frequency, the vibratory frequency, affects you in a negative way, and you will become sick. And the music, there are different forms of music that have been tested to cause negative cell proliferation in the human body. And then there are other frequencies, and that would be stuff like heavy metal music.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other frequencies that will heal the body. The solfeggio frequencies, if those could be reintroduced into our music, our whole culture would change. And they have healing frequencies, or they have, and they're spiritually healing, these frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And so on my website, I have some little YouTube clips that will, so you can hear what those frequencies are. But I also use those. In Adena, we use, in the advanced class, we use the solfeggio frequency tuning forks to work on certain areas of the body.
Okay, now we have about 4 minutes left. So give out your websites so they can find you.
Okay.
And then we're going to talk about your class. You're going to offer classes. You also do pendulums. There's also meditation, a free meditation on your site.
Yeah, I have some free meditations on hotpinklotus.com. And to learn more about Adena Energy Medicine, you would go to Adena, E-D-I-N-A, healingtemple.com. And my blog talk radio show is The Lois J. Wetzel Show. On Blog Talk Radio.
And what day?
Friday mornings, 9 a.m. Central Time.
Okay. And you were going to add something else?
My classes, I offer classes either online. You can take the Adena classes at a distance. I have people all over the world signing up to take the advanced, the basic and the advanced classes on the Adena website, and I also offer some other online classes on the Hot Pink Lotus website, how to read tarot cards, for example, how to use a pendulum, and there's a little mini class for free on how to use a pendulum on the Hot Pink Lotus website, and I always keep a few free meditations on there if you'd like to meditate. When we had this bill in the Gulf, I put a meditation on there so that people could meditate on seeing a beautiful, clear Gulf of Mexico rather than focusing on fear. Because I feel pretty strongly, well, I feel very, very strongly that when you go into fear, you manifest what you don't want. So it's important to know how to focus on what you want, not on what you don't want.
Right. And for the pendulums, you actually make them for people.
I do. I make pendulums, and I will make custom pendulums for people if they'll send a picture of themselves. I've got three different price ranges, which use different qualities of stones. Yes, I'll make custom pendulums for people just because it's fun. I like to make pendulums. And I've got, it helps me express my art side. And I make jewelry too, but I don't have it on the website, but yeah, I make some pretty outstanding pendulums, actually. They look like jewelry. In fact, if you're in Santa Fe, drop by Audrey Gutierrez's shop, which is, I'm trying to remember the name of it now, Shining Sun Farms, that's the name of it, and she carries my pendulums, actually.
I'll have to take a trip up there. Now, we've got about a minute left, so give out your websites one more time, and also the radio show.
Okay. On Blog Talk Radio, it's the Lois J. Wetzel, W-E-T-Z-E-L, show. And hotpinklotus.com is my primary website. And then Adena is E-D-I-N-A, healingtemple.com. And I also use a pseudonym and channel the Archangel Gabriel for Sedona Journal, and it's called. And to go see that, you would go to lotusfire. That's my pseudonym. .net, That's where all the stuff is posted that I've put on Sedona Journal. LotusFire.net.
And you also have a Houston Body Talk System.com.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the websites, and that's the one that just talks about body talk and some of the results I've seen doing body talk. HoustonBodyTalkSystem.com. I have a lot of websites, don't I?
That's all right. People need to know, Lois. It's good that you're out there. Our time is up. It's been great having you on the show. I'm sure everybody found it very interesting, as I did. So keep up the good work, okay?
Thank you very much for having me, Nancy.
You're very welcome. You take care.
I'd
like
too.
To thank you, all of the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and keep yourselves open. Take care. Bye now.